this day in the later part of Advent, just a few days before Christmas, is especially dear to the Anoim, because in today's liturgy we get to sing with and ponder with the poor. I mentioned this at the beginning of the Mass, Hannah and Mary. So the Canticle of Hannah is today's psalm, and the Canticle of Mary is today's gospel. These are very profound scripture passages, really rich sources for our pondering. The Church prays this Canticle of Mary every day at evening prayer. If you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you're very familiar with this. Where do we start? Well, let's start with setting aside some of the strange things people say about this canticle. I'm a big fan of Bible commentaries. I use them all the time. I have a lot of them. And they're very, very helpful for understanding the scriptures, because very often you can pick up a passage from the Bible and not really understand what it's all about. So if you look at a commentary, you get some scholar or some expert who knows the original languages and knows the historical context and the literary forms, and these commentaries can tell us a lot about the Bible. So I'm all in favor of studying and reading commentaries. But some of the commentaries on this particular passage say some very strange things. So we don't have to take everything that the commentaries say. We don't have to accept it all. We have to accept the Bible. That's the Word of God. But we don't have to accept what everybody says about the Bible. You don't even have to accept what I say. You just accept the Bible. So anyway, some of the commentaries, the first thing they say about this Canticle of Mary is, Mary didn't really say this. That's the first thing they'll say. Maybe Elizabeth said it. I think because there are some ancient manuscripts that attribute the Magnificat to Elizabeth instead of to Mary. Well, maybe Elizabeth, maybe they sang it together. Maybe they sang this every day for 3 months. I don't know. Why do we have to say that Mary didn't say it? Rather than say what didn't happen, let's open our hearts to what maybe did happen. Maybe they prayed this every single day. They're together for 3 months. Don't you think that their souls were proclaiming the greatness of the Lord and their spirits were rejoicing in God? Of course they were. They had a lot to rejoice about. Both of them were recipients of an extraordinary grace. Elizabeth, conceived in her old age, Mary, bearing the Word made flesh. So I'll set aside that concern. Then the commentaries will say, Mary couldn't have said this because it's too highly developed. It's a very profound summary of many themes from the Old Testament, and it has high literary form. And Mary, a young, uneducated girl from the remote place, she couldn't have done that. Well, again, I think that's a silly thing to say, what Mary couldn't have done. You could say, isn't it remarkable? You could also say, well, Luke, who's the author here, the human author, maybe Luke was able to edit and prepare and polish. That's fine. Luke himself says, when I wrote my gospel, I consulted lots of sources. Fine. But don't say what Mary couldn't say. That is going too far. We know Mary was the recipient of the most extraordinary grace that we know about. First of all, to be preserved from sin, and then to be chosen as Mother of God. So it's pretty hard to say what she couldn't do when her whole focus is on what God can do, and what he can do is what is impossible to man. Isn't that the whole point of Gabriel's message to Mary? Nothing is impossible with God. So it's pretty silly to say it's impossible for for Mary to say, her soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Okay, so setting aside those things, let's look at some of the richness of this hymn, this canticle, the Magnificat. Oh, another thing, I'll just set this one aside too. Another reason why people say Mary couldn't say this is because Mary doesn't talk about the actual context. She doesn't refer to what has actually happened here, namely that she's the mother of God and that Elizabeth is mother of the forerunner. She doesn't say that. Well, does she have to say that? How can she put into words what is too great for us even to comprehend? It's enough for her to say, the Almighty has done great things for me. Isn't that enough? The Almighty has done great things. Does she have to spell it out in order for it to be authentic? Okay, so here she is. It's true that Mary doesn't say, I'm happy that I'm the mother of God. Of course she doesn't say that. It's true that she doesn't say, I'm very happy to meet Elizabeth, who's miraculously pregnant. She doesn't have to say that. What she says is, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. I'm not focused on myself. I'm focused on God. This is why this is a great hymn for the poor, for the Anuim. It raises up our spirit, our deepest spirit, to the praises of God. We don't have to focus on ourselves. If we do focus on ourselves, we focus on what God has done for us. That's Mary's spirit. Even her statement that some people think sounds like a boast or sounds like pride, all generations will call me blessed. She's not saying, I'm the greatest and everybody should praise me. She's saying, all generations will call me blessed because of what God has done. You see the point of it? That's a real witness. That's a real testimony to God. It's right for us to stand up and proclaim what God has done for us, not because we're boasting, but because we're praising God. You know, in many prayer groups, they honor the testimonies. People stand up and talk about their conversion story or their experience of being healed. Those are beautiful things. If the witness is giving glory to God, if the witness stands up and says, I'm so great because I prayed so hard and I got this great gift, well, then you say, well, that doesn't give glory to God. That's self-glorification. Mary's spirit, and this is what she's teaching us, is to give glory to God. All generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Okay, after she makes it clear what her own inner spirit is, what is pouring forth from the depths of her soul, then she moves on to a reflection, or we would say pondering of, the ways of the Lord. After she acknowledges that God has done great things for her, and that's why everyone will give him glory through every generation, he's looked on his lowly servant. See how she identifies herself, lowly servant. Then she goes on to this summary of the ways of the Lord. It's like a summary of the whole Old Testament. How God reveals his greatness, he reveals his strength by casting down the mighty or humbling the mighty and raising up the lowly. This is the pattern again and again revealed throughout the whole of history. This is how God works. He humbles the proud, he raises up the lowly. And Jesus says this in the Gospels, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That's the way that God works. It's interesting that Mary here, pregnant, you would think looking forward, takes an opportunity to look back, to ponder how God has always acted. That's why the church uses this canticle in evening prayer, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we say, oh, look, We've just passed through the day, we get to our evening prayer, and we can say, look back at all the great things God has done. Give thanks to God for this day, and recognize how he humbles the proud and lifts up the lowly. The canticle that we will hear on Thursday, Canticle of Zechariah, which is, he gives after John is already born. You think he is the one who should be looking back and saying, I'm grateful for what has just happened. That's the canticle we use in the morning prayer, looking forward to what God will do. It's beautiful. So after something beautiful has happened, we can do both. We look back and say, well, look at how great God is. We can also look forward and say, look at what God will do. Okay, let's go back to what Mary here says. He casts down the mighty from their thrones. He lifts up the lowly. He fills the hungry. The rich he sends away empty. What he's doing here is he is fulfilling his promises. He has remembered his promise of mercy. God has made a covenant with his people. God has promised to save. He's promised to be merciful, and he is faithful to his promises. So this is what Mary really celebrates. He is faithful to the promise he made to Abraham, and we who believe are all children of Abraham. It's a great thing to rejoice in. Whether we see the promise fulfilled right now or not is not that important. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful in every generation. So every generation will praise him. His mercy is on those who fear him in every generation. And all generations will call Mary blessed because God has done great things for her. But remember, Mary represents the church. Mary represents us. That's why all of us can pray this prayer. That's why the whole church can pray this prayer, because all generations will call us blessed. All generations will call the church blessed because the Almighty has done great things for the church, because the Almighty has done great things for us, and holy is his name. So we take this extraordinary canticle of Mary, and we make it our own. We join her in proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. We join her in rejoicing in God. We rejoice in God even when things are not going well for us. Even when we can't see how God is fulfilling his promises, we rejoice in faith, knowing that even if it looks like the proud are being exalted and the lowly are being crushed, that's what it usually looks like, we know that that's not what happens in God's plan. God lowers he casts down the mighty and he lifts up the lowly. So it's very important for us to be included among the lowly, the poor in spirit, those who are like Mary, those who are children of Mary. Very important to be in that category, because that's the group that God will raise up. That's the group that can rejoice in the Lord. And we see this throughout Advent, throughout Christmas, all the time. The shepherds, the Holy Family, anyone who's has the lowly spirit that we see expressed by Mary here is the one who's raised up in rejoicing in the Lord.